Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.
Those who are alert followers of the Japa retreat cannot help but notice that we are moving more and more into a state of contemplation. the way these retreats are designed is that on level 2, we go a little bit deeper into the areas of our inner life. It is what observers feel, something which many devotees look for and lack, strangely enough. There could be many reasons why we have been taught in the beginnings of our spiritual life to engage our bodies in active service. One could be Prabhupada's analyzes that we Westerners are a little bit restless in our minds. But as a devotee goes on in his spiritual life, he will just naturally desire to engage the mind in Krishna's service. He will not like mindless spiritual life. He will yearn for something like an inner life. So in our japa retreats, we try to move devotees to these things. And in the session before this one, we have done a lot of reflection, really, about opening our hearts. We heard first from the scriptures. A definition what bhakti means. It was different from karma and jnana. We heard about the eligibility for bhakti as being shraddha in listening to Krishna. We heard a lot about opening our hearts in personal relationships, and we heard it from the realized mouth of someone who escaped the grim hands of death, who learned how to widen his arterias by opening his heart and escaped a fatal end. It was very telling, very well received by all of us. Now in this level, or in this session, I will bring you carefully into the area of chanting and meditating on the sound vibration. First of all, I need to establish my case why this is important. And I will do so from the Upanishads and from Srila Prabhupada's teachings. Because Prabhupada's will take a little longer, it's very beautiful. I will just summarize here a point which the Upanishads make, that they ask the question, how does someone learn anything? And they answer, for learning to take place, three steps need to be made. One is shravana, hearing something, a new orientation. The second is manaha, reflecting about it. Why do you think is reflection necessary and not unnecessary? Kanamrita?
Otherwise, that's how you know that you've understood it, that you can put it in your own words and reflect about it and go into the meaning of it. Otherwise, it's just words.
If it's just hearing, says Kanamrita, it's just words, whereas by reflecting about it, you own it, you put it into your own meaning, into your own thing. This is exactly what it is. When you hear something and you don't think about it, even if you take notes about it, but if you don't think about it, it will go in one ear and out the other. Only if you reflect is there a chance that the knowledge which you hear will go in your heart. This is a little reminder on the note takers. I'm also a note taker, and somehow I have the feeling that when I take notes, I have the subject. It's mine. I own it. But it's a great illusion of the knowledge acquiring mind. You only own a subject if you reflect about it. This is called manaha. A manushya, a human being, must do manaha, reflecting. Only if he reflects will he be able to call an information his own. He will make it his own. Now there's a deeper state of reflecting where it goes very deep, and that's you could call it nididhyasana, that is meditation. Today in the morning we have gone into a meditative state, and at that time I've read to you two times a lecture from Prabhupada, because whenever someone meditates, he has access to deeper areas of his self, and then whatever you implant there into that newly opened field, it will stay. It will not stay intellectually, but it will stay very much as the message and will become part of the person. So nididhyasana is where a person, not under guidance, but on his own, meditates and then really deeply implants the knowledge in himself. We say this in ISKCON, I have to meditate about this, Prabhu. Often it's a managerial decision or something. I don't think we say it really serious, this meditation. Or we say, he meditates about you, or she meditates about you. It's not real meditation, it means some thickened type of thinking in ISKCON. But real meditation means you go very deep, you open an area up which you don't have access to normally, and you become deeply affected by this. Nididhyasana has been also in the Gaudiya line explained as applying the knowledge. Because if knowledge is applied, then it also becomes one's own. So there are three stages of acquiring knowledge: hearing about it, shravanam, reflecting about it, manaha, and nididhyasana, which can mean either meditating about it or applying it. Then it's really deep. Now Baladev Vidyabhushana, a great devotee of Lord Krishna, has said that's not enough. You need to add a fourth step, and that is you need to pray for realization. We have this in the case of Sanatana Goswami, after he has heard Sanatana Shiksha from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He goes to Gauranga Mahaprabhu and says, my dear Lord, please, I pray to you, make everything which you have just now explained to me manifest in my heart. And please do so by placing your lotus feet on my head. Praying for realization is very important. If we Hare Krishnas would take all the classes together which we have heard, we would be enlightened. But because we Hare Krishnas have maybe only reflected and meditated about 0.2% of what we heard, we are not yet enlightened. Hare Krishna. You know, after lunch we need to be provoked so that the juices flow. It has. Where does Prabhupada say we should meditate? Listen very carefully. Here is a very wonderful text, which I believe every one of you has already stumbled across once or twice in his or her lifetime. But because it's so wonderful and so heart enchanting, I would like to read this again to you. Prabhupada talks about chanting and meditation. He says, the Hare Krishna mantra chanting means keeping Krishna always within your heart. This is not expensive at all. You haven't got to make a very exalted throne for Krishna. You can imagine that in my heart I have placed now a very diamond throne and Krishna is sitting. That is accepted. Actually, it becomes so. Even if only within the mind you think that I have kept one diamond throne, a very costly throne, because Krishna is coming. He will sit down there. That is not false. That is a fact. So you create such situation within your heart. Now Krishna has seated himself. Let me wash his feet with the Ganges water, Jamuna water. And now I change his dress to a first class costly garment. Then I decorate with ornaments. Then I give him something for eating. You can simply think of this. This is meditation. It is such a nice thing. Anywhere where you are, you can sit down and think that Krishna is sitting in your heart and you are receiving him in a nice way. This is not false. Have you noticed how often Prabhupada says this is not false? This is also fact. It is so easy. If you simply carry Krishna within your heart, always in a very devotional service, exalted devotional service, and chant Hare Krishna and think of Krishna, wherever you will go, you will purify the whole place. It is fact again. 4 or 5 times. It's fact. It's not false. This is confirmed in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Try to remain in your position as a devotee. And as far as possible, teach these rascals who are simply attracted by the glaring material stones and woods. And let them have some knowledge and do benefit to your countrymen, to your society, to your family. Thank you very much. This is so wonderful, so beautiful. If you would like to find it in your own reading time, it's Srila Prabhupada's purport on Srimad Bhagavatam 1.13.10. I mean, it's a lecture which he has given in Geneva. Geneva is Switzerland, on June 1st, 1974. June 1st, 1974, Geneva, SB 1.13.10. So I thought, because Prabhupada has told us that we should meditate about inviting Krishna into our heart and receiving him there, that this would be meditation, that we should chant Hare Krishna, he combines the two. We should do this today and make a very nice Krishna meditation. Now I want to ask you, how are you? Are you alert? Do you require stretching?
Yes.
Yes? All right.
I'm too tired to respond.
So, we will again start with a little centering exercise, and then we will go on a wonderful journey which is very devotional. I request you to settle yourself comfortably in your seats. you will be sitting for about 20 minutes or so. If some of you feel they would be better taken care of with the support of a chair, please do not hesitate to use a chair. Kleenex for crying. Krishna. This time no crying. It is very, well, you might cry. Ladies always cry when it gets intense. Good. So situate yourself very comfortably and easy. I request you to slowly compose your mind. And when you feel comfortable, please close your eyes. Again, start to watch the inflowing and outgoing breath. First, just become aware of your breathing. Try to feel where it is, where your breath enters your nostril. Is it a little cool, the feeling, or cooling? Maybe a little sharp, the sensation. Become scientists who investigate your own breath. Now, slowly try to deepen your breath. You can imagine that you are breathing into your heart space. Bring your mind to the position of an observer of your breath. The breath comes and goes, almost like waves who come and go onto the shore or the beach near the ocean. Wave comes and recedes back into the ocean. Another wave comes and recedes back into the ocean. Comes and recedes. The same way the breathing comes and recedes. As you continue to breathe, maintain your full awareness and slowly make your spine tall. You want to find a position in your chair or on your floor seat where you can be tall in the spine, but not in any way strained tall, just straight. Straight and in perfect balance. Now, where your body is safely parked or placed, we will go on a journey. We will leave this room and we will go far away from here. We will also leave all our daily concerns far away. We step outside of this room to a beautiful meadow with flowers. Seems to be like a clearing within the large forest. There are old trees on the edge of the meadow. We walk a little through the meadow. It's pleasing. The temperature is just right. And we walk towards the fair forest. It's so nice to be in the shadow. There's a forest path. It's very distinct and clear. And we walk along that path. We walk past old trees in the shadow. The path comes to a point where there is an incline. It goes upwards. It's very comfortable to walk upwards. It's only a slight incline, not very steep. We move upwards. We move higher and higher. Such a beautiful forest. Such tall trees. So comfortable to move higher. And it gets a little bit more cooler, very comfortably cool. We move upwards. Higher and higher. Now the tree vegetation changes. We see more pine trees. Trees which grow in higher areas. How nice it is to walk here. A certain curiosity moves us on. Exactly. exhausted, but we seem to grow in energy. Such a good atmosphere. We move on and on. The trees become smaller, quite small, and it seems that we are moving into a cloud. Or is it like a fog? It's a little strange to move so alone without seeing much ahead. But somehow we have faith. Faith to move on, higher and higher. Oh, careful, ahead there's a rock. We go a little around the rock and move on, higher and higher. Now we have arrived at what seems to be the highest point of this mountain, and we go down. As we go more down, the fog seems to be more transparent. Or is it a cloud? We go further down. Then we come into an area with a little wind, and the fog disperses. We look back, there's fog, but before us it goes more down. We follow the path. We go deeper. There's something in the valley which looks strangely familiar. We are a little bit too far. Maybe we are speculating, but it does look familiar. We go very fast in the area of the lowlands, where the valley first captured our attention. No, it is correct. Vrindavan. How did we get here? It is Vrindavan. There are the temple domes. We are still a little far, but we are going very hurriedly now. And yes, that atmosphere. We are coming to the forest of Vrindavan. We move a little through the forest, and there, not much in the distance, quite close, take so cooling. It's so healing. This dark water of the Jamuna. We go into the water and we submerge ourselves in the water. It's dark, but at the same time we can see. When we come up, we see how something black drips from our bodies. Goes into the water of the Jamuna and is carried away. Could that be that these are our bad karmas? The sinful reactions? Could it be that we see what we have read, that a bath in the Yamuna takes all the misery away from us? We stay a little bit in the Yamuna, looking around to the beach, the skyline of Vrindavan, the trees, we relish the atmosphere, we relish the atmosphere. Go to the banks and we find it as if placed by someone some simple cloth to dress in. We dry ourselves. Follow a winding path, first at the bank of the Jamuna, and then the path goes into the forest. Some pulling is in our heart, a pulling which says to us, it's good to go this path. And as we move on, we see a beautiful temple. It's really wonderful. And what is so nice is that we are on our own. Not that there's no forest animal or nothing, but we can go in peace in our own time, in our own way, towards our temple. As we move closer, we find that the old door is closed, but we can easily push the door open and step into the interior of our temple. Without losing much time to marvel at the architecture inside, we go straight towards where we know the altar is. The curtain is drawn. But as we come closer and kneel down to pay our obeisances, we hear the sound of a bell. And when we come up from our obeisances, there on the altar, Srimati Radharani and Krishna. Oh, how wonderful! The altar has opened. Up to our feet, and we feast our eyes on the beautiful form of the divine couple. First Srimati Radharani, and then Krishna. Krishna is really there. And it is so wonderful. He seems to be so alive. And he looks at you with his gentle, sweet smile. And his moist eyes laden with compassion. He seems to say, I'm so happy that you have come. You have come. And he is observing your expression. He's perceiving everything. Your attitude, mood. He seems to be feeling the pulse of your heart. And he knows the movements of your mind. You compose a prayer to Krishna. Your own prayer. Please do so now. Please pray. Krishna keeps looking at you. All of a sudden, he speaks to you. Yes, it's difficult to say. Is he speaking in a language which your heart hears? Is it sound which comes, or is it just something which is in your heart, moving your heart? He asked one question. What is really important to you? This is a question you have not often contemplated about. He repeats it. He's serious about it. What is really important to you? It is very clear. He wants an answer from you. What is really important to you? You have found an answer. You look up to Radha and Krishna, and they both seem to smile. Yes, they are happy that you have found an answer. What really matters in your life? Seems almost that they congratulate you for your answer. And then the bell rings and the curtain slowly is drawn. Gratefully, you bow down. Do you know? It's time now to slowly leave. And you are happy. You will bring something with you. Something from Vrindavan. You go out of the temple. You look into your quarter. And yes, there's a notebook. And a pen. My God, has Krishna put these things there? Take the notebook and write down the answer. What is really important to you? You put the piece of paper in your pocket and you move on. Yes, there in the distance is that mountain ridge which you cross to come here, to get here. Quickly you move towards that mountain ridge and you find the path by which you have come. You go up a mountain, it becomes steeper and steeper, but pleasantly steep. You move again into the cloud, or is it a fog? It's cooling. It's pleasant, but it's also a little unfamiliar to walk without seeing much ahead of you. Move higher. Oh, careful, there's this rock. Go around it. Go soon through the pine tree forest. You left the fog behind. Oh yeah, you go deeper and deeper. You come into the old forest. You accelerate your steps. And then you see in the distance the meadow with the flowers. You have reached. There, somewhere in the middle, is the building of the Delphi Center, and you go inside. Oh good, there is your body, safely parked, waiting. Please go inside and start to breathe. Deeper, deeper breaths. Then you may rub your hands like you did before. Put them on your eyes as you do when you do palming. Slowly bring your hands away from your eyes and look into them, to the palms, as if you look into your palms for the first time of your life. See the lines. And slowly return to room awareness. Take your time. Maybe you will wish to stretch a little in your seat.
Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Gopinatha Radha, Gopinatha Radha, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much. Would you like to share? Everyone is, you're so wonderful this time. You're really going into it, and you're really gone into it, which is the whole intention of this exercise. It's a good place to be gone into. Did somebody of you have an answer to the question? No need to tell. What is it that really matters? You found? Who found something in your God? That you should keep for yourself. It's something which is to be shared maybe with a friend. From time to time, go into your little shirt and find this little piece of paper. What is really important to you? It seemed Krishna wanted you to go for this. It seemed he didn't want to hear, no, what is important for you, that is also important for me. He seemed to want to have an authentic devotee with an authentic spiritual desire. And that little piece of paper, what you maybe have, that you should look at from time to time, and it will be a guiding light, a beacon light, which will definitely help you to go through your lives and get the unessentials away to look at the essentials. There was a devotee who wanted to share. I think I saw Ananda. We will have a microphone for you.
It was very simple. It wasn't lots of fireworks, but it was very powerful for me because earlier in my devotional life, I was instructed to do very vigorously focus on preaching and creating programs and creating visions for expanding the movement. And now I realize that it's time for me to just really, actually over and over again this week, I'm seeing that that's actually unhealthy for me in my life right now. That for me, what's important to me is simply to remember Krishna, myself, and to share pastimes of Krishna with my son, maybe do puppet shows at yoga studios for kids and have my son be Hanuman or baby Krishna and act things out and just really be absorbed in a much more personal and simple way to focus. And to remember that that, you know, I don't know, it's, I tend to gravitate towards complexity, so when I see a problem, I get into, I search far and wide to find the solution, but then sometimes I get lost. So this very simple thing, just you're here to see and remember and be with Krishna. And specifically the pastimes and to share them is so, for me, it's so, I mean, it's so simple, but it's so new almost.
Wonderful.
It's very special. Thank you.
Anyone else would like to share? I think I saw your hand, Prabhuji. Yes, please.
First of all, I would like to thank you and the assembled Vaishnavas to give us that opportunity. It was very calm and cooling when you take us to the Yamuna River and glance at the Vrindavan. I never visualized previously, even looking at the picture, but this was a unique experience that I received. And when you say that all the sinful reactions and the activities, like a black rock falling out from the body, was so making the heart very light. And when we walk through, and it's need little effort to, like you mentioned, the door is closed, so we need to put little effort to open it. And curtain was closed. We approach the Lord, and after bowing down, when the bell rings and curtain got open, I saw beautiful forms of Radha and Krishna. And I pray, as you requested us to make the prayer, that I made the prayer that son of Nanda Maharaj, Govinda, who always give the protections to the cow and the devotees, Radha Kant, lover of Radharani, you have been so merciful to show us the form. And then my request was that please bless me the mercy that I can chant your holy name of the Lord, purely your name. And as you said, the answer came that you, as you have released my wonderful form, just remember that I'm not different than the holy name.
Wonderful. Thank you, Prabhu. You took us again on meditation. Thank you so much. Really, it was Govinda, Radha Kanta, Radha Vinod. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Hey, Krishna, Karuna, Sindhu. Yes, yes. See, I'm watching the watch there, and I want to make a concluding message before you may have your prasadam. I think this exercise goes, or this session goes up to 6 o'clock. Am I? Really? 6 o'clock? Oh, yeah. Oh, then I can even do so. But I only have one thing more to say to this, and then we can. Yeah, then I could do what I did not do in the morning, because it was so interesting what we did in the morning. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, good. 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 I'm sorry. I'm so spaced out. I wanted to say something which is really in my heart. When Prabhupada was in New York, he was asked by a New Yorker, and I think I've said it in one of the Japa retreats where I was invited in America to attend. He was asked by this lady with a heavy New York accent, "Are you here, Swamiji?" I think this means like maybe you are a little absent-minded. Are you here? Are you there? Is the owner of the house there? And Prabhupada said, "No, I'm not here. I'm actually thinking of my Vrindavan. Always." See, in our Gaudiya tradition, there are these five processes which we do in a regulated devotional service, Vaidhi Bhakti, but which carry on in other forms of Bhakti also. And it's Mathura Vasa, living in the sacred space of Mathura, Vrindavan. Huh? And you might ask yourself, why is that so cardinal that of all the 64 items how to practice devotional service, this is highlighted in a couple of places in these items, I think 3 or 4. Giriraj Maharaj would be the right person to talk about this in detail, but it is summarized again in these five items. It's of cardinal importance. In the five items, you know, there's the chanting of the Hare Krishna, Sadhu Sangha, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, deity worship and everything surrounding it, and then Mathura Vasa, living in the sacred land. And you might ask, why is this so important? The answer was given once by Srila Prabhupada. He said, the benefit of going to Vrindavan is that it gives you the impetus to go back home, back to Godhead. See, anything in order to be moved from one place to another needs a moving force. And please look at this, simply the best bottle. If I want to move it from in this direction, I have to apply force to it. And in the beginning, I have to apply a little extra force, and then it slides easier. I have to apply extra force because there's something like a resistance, which in physics you call Haftwiderstand. That's a German word. It means the resistance of attachment, but I can imagine it won't translate into English as attachment. But it's, one would have to find the right word. I don't know if we have a physicist amongst us. Inertia, maybe. So, in the beginning, we conditioned souls suffer from this inertia, the spiritual inertia. And going to Vrindavan or going to any holy place gives you the impetus, the pushing force, if you so will, to move you out of this place which your spiritual inertia has created, and you start moving in the right direction. So, Vrindavan, a stay in Vrindavan gives you this because it's the land of Krishna, and Krishna is present there. And the way Krishna moves you is by activating something inside of you, which is your longing, your yearning, your eagerness. Anyone who goes to Vrindavan will feel that yearning and eagerness to Krishna, which is not so strong when you are in the West often. Now, Jiva Goswami adds that he knows that it's difficult for all Vaishnavas in all history to always stay in Vrindavan. And he says, you can also stay in your mind in Vrindavan. But I think, in my own mind, if you want to go in your mind to Vrindavan, you have to first have made a few snapshots in your mind while you were there, a few experiences, an impression during your actual visits. And then Vrindavan will come. And one day it will come as you chant Hare Krishna. I mean, I can imagine to a few of you this happens. All of a sudden, you are transported to Vrindavan, to a suitable place where you like to chant. Maybe under some tree at the sacred valley in Giriraj. Or you stay at the bank of the Jamuna and chant there. Or you stay in Vashana, in suitable places, or Surya Kunda, or wherever you have been. And then you chant from the transcendental position of Vrindavan Vas. So this is how to, why it is beneficial to meditate about Krishna, because after some time, Krishna will come in while you chant, or Vrindavan will come while you chant.